It's the After the Show podcast, precious.
We don't care. We're about to swear on the air. It's the After the Show, so tune in if you dare. KVJ, get risque every single day. It's uncensored. We can say what we want
to
say.
Hello, welcome to Monday of the KVJ After the Show podcast. What's going on, everybody?
What's going on, Kevin?
Hello, Kevin.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. Loving this Monday. A lot of interesting things going on here today. Tomorrow, I think we'll probably delve deep into the Ellen stuff. We wrapped up the regular show with it. She went on today as of Monday and kind of addressed the toxicity that has been on the show and said, you know, basically took ownership of it, saying my name's on everything, including the underwear. That was her joke. And then said, you know, things are different. And apparently people thought that she did a very good job. And even a source is saying that the environment on the show already feels different since they got rid of the former executive producers that were bringing in the toxicity.
Well, that's good.
That part is good. And what I think is interesting is what you brought up at the end of the regular show, Virginia, is Ellen herself was accused of bringing some of that toxicity. And so was that addressed? And what would those people have to say about it? And the thing that will be interesting about talking about it tomorrow rather than right now is you're hearing the results of Ellen's presentation on the show today, which people are saying is good. And I had no doubt that she would make you feel good about the situation. She's masterful with her words.
Yes.
Very likable. And that's why I was shocked by the toxic stories in the first place. But yeah, I think today you'll probably start hearing the responses of people who went through that toxicity to what Ellen had to say today.
I'm just reading some of the Twitter comments. It looks like they're on her side. Nah, she assassinated her own character when she acted like an awful person to everybody she worked with and everyone she encountered. Imagine all the people that she made cry.
Is that somebody who experienced her?
Just people bitching on Twitter.
Yeah.
Just people
have
bitching.
No idea really what happened behind the scenes.
Just.
Didn't witness any of it.
No.
But somehow are an expert on the situation.
But Twitter's clapping back.
Yeah. No, I figure they will. Well, they don't want the negativity to die. Yeah, that's it. I mean, have you ever seen people that just work so hard to keep the toxicity going and the negativity? And we get through something and you're just like, well, you know what? Okay. All right, good. Yeah, that was a tough ride, but we're through. No. We're not through it. Don't you dare try to make this thing happy.
Way to dodge the blame, Ellen, even while taking responsibility, in quotes. It wasn't that things happened on your show, in quotes. Yeah, they're coming for her.
Yeah. Well, to me, I care to hear from the people who went through it. And what do they have to say?
I don't think Twitter ever forgives anybody. I mean, I think if you have fucked up, majority of Twitter wants you dead.
Yeah,
or your career
die.
Dead, no. Or your
and
mom.
That's what's fun about Twitter.
Twitter is the worst.
They're miserable people that need to always have something bad to focus on.
I would just love to go into all these people on Twitter that, well, she did it this way, blah, blah, blah. They have no idea. I always love to see what's going on in their personal life and just kind of see if they are really nailing it, if they are great people too.
Mm-mm.
Probably not, right?
No. I would doubt it. So, yeah, to me, the only thing I care to hear about, I don't care to hear from you, Twitter. You can sit down and get out of the conversation. I want to hear about the people who brought the charges forward that experienced the toxic environment. What Ellen had to say. And they'd be like going, yeah, I like how she did not address this, or she didn't address that, or conveniently did not mention this. That to me is what's going to be interesting. Ellen. Uh-uh.
Ellen, stop making your guest always feel uncomfortable.
It will be interesting to see if she does change some of that, because the scaring was one of those things that it seemed lighthearted and fun when I saw it, but that was one of those points where some people are like going, man, a lot of these people don't want to be scared.
Give me a fucking boo-hoo break.
Yeah.
You cannot be a fucking celebrity and go on Ellen and not realize you're going to be part of one of her pranks. If you're if you're playing victim as a celebrity on that shit, sit down. We see your shit.
I think that's what's going to be interesting moving forward, though. How much of that stuff will noticeably Ellen park some things that she used to do on the sidelines? Because Twitter or other people will be like going, yeah, how do you think, do you really think everybody wants to be scared? Will she put that off? And if she does, for how long? Is it like going, eh, we're going to rest the scaring thing for a little while?
Twitter will get mad. They see it. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's so toxic. Mm. Can't scare people. But I mean, again, it's Twitter.
Yeah.
They don't fucking know.
Yeah, I only care about the people that are going through it. The people that actually work there, the people that are actually her guests.
You mean
how
tell
do you
me,
feel about it?
Justin Bieber doesn't know he's going to get scared for the third time on Ellen. Give me a fucking break.
Mm-hmm.
Not buying it.
And she'll probably have to have some kind of paper to say, hey, at some point today, we're probably going to scare you on the show. Can we get your signed permission that we are allowed to scare you? Which then again kind of defeats the whole purpose of trying to scare somebody.
They know.
That's and then we start complaining about how ridiculous the world is and how we have to sign all these waivers. This is why we have to sign all these waivers.
Jimmy Fallon does it too. They sit down and they act like this is all impromptu and there's no way that it is. He does those karaoke games where it happens to land on the best impression that Jimmy Fallon can do.
Right.
I mean, it's none of that is all of that shit is planned. All of it.
Mm-hmm. Lisa said, weren't her producers just doing their job based on her saying these employees keep them away from me? Just an assumption. Yeah, that was the one thing. It was like, and I've heard that too with Dave Letterman, you know, on his show. I think it was like you, unless Dave acknowledged you, don't talk to Dave. And here's a couple different things, just my thoughts on that. One, I know some of that stuff sounds ridiculously harsh and it sounds so out of touch. But when you're talking about some of these productions where a performer is and what they have to do and what their time schedule is, that if he needs to get from point A to point B, and I don't know. I'm just saying what could possibly have happened. Now, if they're just a diva a-hole and they just don't want to talk to people because they're so good for people, then screw that. But if, say, for instance, like I think I'd heard maybe a Steve Harvey, and he was like, I'm trying to work my set out in my head. And so when I'm walking, having a distraction, that thought is gone. And unfortunately, I need to walk from point A to point B. And so if you're on my set, just, I don't want to sound like a jerk, but don't distract me because things are going on in my head that
I'm planning what I have to do when it's my turn to perform.
This isn't my social hour. This is, I need this kind of understanding to be able to work. I'm not trying to make a toxic environment, but I'm just trying to really hyper focus on the material that I'm trying to do.
And I get that. You know, if you're walking and you're thinking and you're trying to get your head in one space, that you're working. But I think the accusations with Ellen went way deeper than that. It wasn't just
too.
Like people talking to her backstage.
And if you are that way, like if you're a Steve Harvey and that is the truth, you need to sit everyone down and say, look, guys, here's the thing. Here's the reason for the rule. And
here's what I'm doing in my head.
I have ADD and I have to focus. So unfortunately, between these hours, just if you see me, don't speak to me because it might, thoughts gone. I'm like, you know?
I'm planning.
Right.
I'm working. It looks like I'm walking down the hall, but I'm really getting mm-hmm. ready and practicing in my head what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
That makes sense. But with the Ellen stuff, it was accusations of like firing a pregnant chick just because she was pregnant. Like they're like, oh, that's it. You're out of here. Like,
but is that
like mean stuff?
But is that really what happened though? You know what I mean?
None of us know, but we've heard so much about Ellen for years being mean to people.
Mm-hmm.
I never heard anything about the producers. We heard things about Ellen specifically.
Yeah. Well, that's what's going to be interesting to see how much her address that she did on today's show. And we just ran out of time. She did it at a point where we couldn't play all the audio. Tomorrow we'll do a deeper dive in it and see. Hopefully we have some reaction from some of the other people too to find out if she did talk about her own toxicity or if she was just kind of like saying, well, it's my responsibility and the environment was toxic. Because in a way, if she takes that angle, it's almost like she's blaming the producers.
Sure.
But she should have been in control. But it's not really her that was toxic. It was the other people and she had an environment that she allowed.
We got rid of them, so now we're mm-hmm. good.
Yeah, and, you know, Lisa's saying, you know, weren't her producers just doing their job based on her saying these, you know, keeping these employees away from me? The one thing, too, that I will tell you, and we've had this, where we have worked at radio stations where there was somebody that might be doing something under the umbrella name of KVJ, and we have seen them not be great with listeners and put forth a presentation that was not welcoming and was not on brand with what we want KVJ to be, which is inviting and warm and welcome
nice
to everybody.
To everybody.
Yeah, and we've dealt with that. And I'm sure we have probably had people walk away saying, gosh, they're jerks, or KVJ, man, their people are a-holes.
Fuck the dirt of the day. They walk away yeah. with that toed.
And so I will tell you, you know, that's tough because I know, unfortunately for us, we don't have the same kind of control Ellen does. And there would be some people that would be working in other departments that we don't get to manage and get to have a say on who does what. But I know Virginia had been vocal many times about saying, I don't want this person working on KVJ projects because yeah. of how they – deal with listeners. I saw them and I was not very happy with how they spoke to somebody.
Shocking. I get lippy if I see yeah. somebody out there that's not being nice to our listeners. I do not want that person associated with our product mm-hmm. ever. If you can't go out and be nice to people and smile and be happy to be there and create a happy environment, that's what this show is about, get the fuck out.
And you're talking about someone who just had a bad attitude and is kind of being salty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anybody who's going to stay there with us better be nice to people. That's it.
Yeah. And it goes back to who you hire and how you manage. You know, you got to yeah. make sure you got A quality people that share those kind of, because now more than ever, customer service is very important to success in what you do.
Amen.
When somebody ain't cool to somebody, you can see how quickly those stories travel.
And they tell everybody. An unhappy customer loves to go on social media. Like, mm-hmm. why would you want to give anybody that kind of power to say negativity about you?
They'll Yelp you. Oh, they'll go right on there and Yelp the shit out of you, Virginia. I saw on my social media, someone posted up a Pop-Tart. They'd open a Pop-Tart. The frosting wasn't at the edge. It was a really shitty job the way Pop-Tarts did it, and they tagged Pop-Tarts in it. And Pop-Tart immediately responded. Within an hour or so, they go, this is not our best look. Give me your address, and we're going to mail you some other Pop-Tarts.
Okay.
It's like, damn, Pop-Tart.
People respect that, and you win over more people by just saying, yeah, you're right. That something happened. We had a bad day, or we had a bad moment, or we made a mistake, and we're going to fix it. People appreciate that. They understand
Sometimes you could try and they're still going to be assholes.
Yeah, but if they are, then who needs them, right?
You're right. Take a Pop-Tart somewhere else.
Who needs them? Got an email here from Erica. Said, hey, guys, I'm just wondering if you guys watched the Emmys and if you guys had seen Schitt's Creek. It's my favorite show and it won all the comedy awards, so I'm really freaking excited. I think I remember Kevin talking about it a while back, but not much. Their wins, especially Dan Levy, who shows us time and time again on his social media what a wonderful human being he is, have brightened up my year. He created, wrote, directed, and starred in the show, and it's the most loving show I've ever seen. I hope more people check it out. Yeah, we talked about it earlier on the regular show, and you know, it sounds like I basically stole what you just said there. And it talked about this is the first Emmys that Schitt's Creek has won at all. 9 Emmys they picked up last night, the record for any comedy series. And if I just had to put the reason why into, you know, copy what I said earlier today, it was because the final season had so much heart that it was solid. Shows start with great, with you really invest in the characters, and they had done that. And they took a victory lap the final season. They became more endearing. They had a lot of heartfelt moments. It was still amusing. They wrapped it up in a way that was very satisfying, and it just felt so good that I think they won so many Emmys for the whole body of work of all the seasons together. And at the end of it, Schitt's Creek becomes one of the most satisfying sitcoms that you can watch because of that. I wouldn't say it's, oh my gosh, I'm just on the ground laughing nonstop, but like I said, the characters are so well done. The actors in there are top-notch. They're very good. So, yeah, that's the reasons why. So, yeah, it is a very solid show.
I think I have to jump on it now. I've thought about it. I've scrolled past it. And it's multiple seasons. So I'm like, oh, I don't know if I want to make a big time commitment. But
it was like 7, maybe something like that.
I'm hearing so much good. I think I got to get in that.
It's something where as you're watching, and I'll tell you honestly, you may not be going, oh, my gosh, this is so amazing. You may not be that way. But I think when you're done with it, at the end of it, I was like, oh, it just, there was an emotion.
Feel good.
Yeah. That's okay. Just how you felt when the whole thing was over. So I think that's why they did well. And a lot of people clearly felt that way. Watchmen, they knew that was going to do well. And that did. That picked up 11 Emmys in total. Best limited series, best actress for Regina King, who's just absolutely fantastic. It is a little bit avant-garde. It's a little bit out there, but it has got an interesting social message that hit right at the right time, too, and I think that's why that did so well last night. Got an email from Kelly in Portage, Michigan. We were talking about Love Island. Play that little like game in 35 seconds. How many times will they say like? It's usually about 17 or 18. It's about a like every 2 seconds.
I'm going to get you one in the 20s. Don't you worry about
that. Okay,
I'm
21 today.
I'm working hard on that.
Yeah. Kelly here says, I love your show. After listening to you guys this morning, play the 35-second clip and counting the word like. I found a post on Facebook today. It's unbelievable. People even type it out now. It says, how quickly can I schedule my exam and take it? Are there like appointments and slots?
There's a like epidemic going on for sure.
I do it too, so I can't be mad.
I wonder if it's something you do when you're tired, because I don't notice you doing it all the time. I wonder if it's something where you fall into it if you're kind of not sharp.
I think I totally use it as a verbal crutch. When I'm buffering, I throw in a like.
The one I use a lot, I use absolutely a lot. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That, well, we all got buzzwords.
Yeah, I
or
think
crutch
when,
words.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, when you talk like we do and how much you have to talk, it's only natural for you to have crutches, and I have rotating crutches that you can tell my brain is thinking about three things at one time. But yeah, the epidemic is very fascinating because it is in what you would expect, like Virginia's daughter Magnolia, but even my 22-year-old son Colin at Georgia Tech, I was just noticing a conversation with him the other day how many times he says like, and I'm like, wow.
It's not just the chicks.
When it's yeah. It's not just the chicks. When it's over the top, it stands out to me, and then once I notice it, it starts to drive me crazy.
Yeah, and it's
well, then it becomes all you can hear, so you have to kind of remove yourself from it.
And almost puts you like in a like spin zone.
Yeah, but with Colin, my son, what I thought was it gave me a new realization on it, because I think I'd had a little bit of a shade of like, okay, it's like, yeah, it's like a mindless kind of .
It's but a young girl thing, and she's not really thinking. She's talking about shopping.
Right, yeah. But, I mean, when you hear a 22-year-old dude who is, like, into chemical engineering, one of the most well-read guys that I know, and he's dropping likes like crazy.
It's a social thing. It's a crutch, man. They're not meaning to do it.
It changed my perspective on it, saying, okay, I think it's just anybody in between. And then if you are near a liker, then you become a liker easily too, because I've caught myself.
It's catchier than COVID.
After hearing a like conversation, you're right. I'm just like, and people are going, why is Kevin saying like so much? I'm like, I am. Like, yes. I'm like, gosh, what's going on?
The one people would get really annoyed with when I was growing up, if you would you'd get called out for ums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was considered
bad manners.
I remember
that, yeah. And even like in speech class and stuff, the teacher would say, you cannot say
Well, I mean, they have a point. They're trying to just make you, you know.
Get on the ball.
They're trying to make you get on the ball.
Yeah, so interesting observation.
They should probably do that in school, where if you keep saying you need to be called out.
You're right. Like is the new
I think it is.
And it's more prevalent than you might think. Talking about the shows, Leonardo had said Cobra Kai is awesome.
I love it too. Mm-hmm. I didn't love the way the second season ended.
Oh, really? Okay.
But I still love the entire. I mean, it does not at all take away from anything. I thought the ending of the second season was slightly over the top.
Yeah, I hear it's very satisfying. That when you watch it, that there is a lot of good things there. In fact, I saw on Twitter, somebody who listened to us and my buddy Dave in Minneapolis said, yeah, your buddy Kevin Rawlson just said the same thing about Cobra Kai. A good show, but terrible acting. And he was kind of saying the same thing. But he was saying that he's like, you kind of look at it and the acting's not great, it's still satisfying.
I could not disagree with that.
You think the acting's good?
I thought they did a great job with how they... I saw a couple people ripping on Johnny's character and how he's terrible. That's his character.
Yeah.
He's supposed to be an out-of-touch dude that's stuck in...
So you think the acting is good?
I do. I think the way they did that series, and for what it is, I think it's... I do think it's good.
Yeah, Dave responded, said, it's true. It's like a decent eighth-grade play, but the story is so over-the-top great.
It is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so
The kid acting's a little tough.
Okay.
But I think the actual Karate Kid parts,
yeah,
which in my opinion is driving the series.
Right.
I know they have the young kid storyline in there, yeah, to get the younger kids involved, but that is not the reason why Cobra Kai is successful.
Yeah, I think that's the note about it. It was a little bit of a hiccup for me when I first got into them. I'm going, you know, but I think the note is everybody that I'm talking to is loving Cobra Kai.
Yes.
That
I kind of wish less of the kid drama and more of the...
Yeah, the Johnny and the... Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Getting on the food train here. Carrie sent this in. I don't know how much you love Uncrustables, Bird. Did you know these flavors exist? I saw them at Target the other day.
I know what you're going to show me, and they're terrible.
Uncured ham and awful cheddar roll-ups?
I had the other one. I had the Mexican one.
Yeah, they got taco bites.
It was disgusting. You know what it reminded me of?
It looks like dog food.
It smelled like dog to me.
It looks like a dog treat.
It was not. I had the taco bite one. It was not good.
Oh, Jay Bird, what were you thinking? Taco bite Uncrustables? Well, whatever bad happens after you eat that, it's on you.
Everyone was wanting me to try them.
Ugh.
I honestly only had like two bites of it.
You got to put your foot down.
Barbecue chicken bites. Have you tried that one, Uncrustable?
Those look gross too.
Yeah, I'm with the witch on it. Uncrustables are meant to be sweet.
Stay in your lane, Uncrustables.
Although they did the grilled cheese, and I really loved it. And I was the only son of a bitch buying that thing. No one else bought it.
No.
The Uncrustable grilled cheese. They need to make more. Just a regular grab-and-go grilled cheese. They don't do that.
Do you heat it up?
Yeah, you would heat it up. I would heat it up.
Interesting.
Yeah, or you could take it on a pan, put it on the old pan.
Pan sear it?
Pan sear that biatch.
Hmm.
I'd say what this world could use.
You've given us a lot to think about.
Well, I'll tell you something we all could think about.
What?
Little Virginia grilled cheese party this week.
Oh, Bird.
Every time you have a grilled cheese party, the people love it. They have their own grilled cheese parties.
And by the people, he means his tummy.
It brings people together. I remember a sweet email from this woman. Her kid was Johnny. She made him a grilled cheese party because of you.
Oh.
Little Johnny was all fucking happy.
Little Johnny, huh?
You're making kids all happy and shit.
Inspiring smiles.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, like Friday maybe? I'll buy the ingredients.
I'll do it whenever you want. If you come in here with it, just let me know which day.
Okay, if I bring the ingredients.
Bring the ingredients. You got to get the good stuff.
I will. I always will.
And I'll bring the special pan.
There's no way we can get a fat Kevin on that one. Well, grilled cheese, too many calories?
Well, it's just a carb thing. I'm not doing carbs these days.
At all?
No, not really touching them.
Wow, man. That's all I'm touching.
I know. Yeah, you and I had completely opposite
worlds. He's touching them. He's doing all kinds of inappropriate stuff with them.
You're right. I'm 69ing my Uncrustables, Virginia. Did you just basically have all vegetables this weekend?
No, I do lean meats and vegetables. That's pretty much what
keto
I eat.
Kev.
Yeah, keto.
Keto bullshit.
Keto means you can do meats, you can do vegetables.
You can do fats.
I'll have
bacon. I have a good bit of bacon these days. But yeah, you just stay away from sugars and carbs.
Doing some bacon.
Yeah.
All right.
I'll do that.
I did bacon too, but I did a giant bowl of cheesy grits.
Yeah.
Sounds good too.
Nothing goes better with bacon than cheesy grits. I'm
supposed to get back on track today, but I don't know, man.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel, it's raining out. There's a thunderstorm.
Oh, rain says pizza.
Definitely to say, although
I can read your mind.
But what sucks is every time I do pizza, I always have to drive by Culver's, so I always do two rounds in one. Pizza, then I get the grilled cheese. Yeah, I love it.
Culver's is good.
I do like Culver's.
Did you get a concrete mixer yet?
I haven't.
What are you waiting
for?
What
is a concrete mixer?
That's their version of the Blizzard.
Ooh, it sounds amazing.
Just as good, if not better. Sorry.
Thick ice cream. Is that what it is?
Thick ice
thick shake,
cream.
Basically? Yeah.
It's thick ice cream. You eat it with a poon.
So I love ice cream. I love Poon. I think we all know that.
Eat it with a spoon.
They have good French fries. What I would like to do is jam some of those fries in one of those little shakes. Thank God.
The concrete mixer. Yeah.
You like that move, don't you, Fat Kevin?
Yeah, I do.
The French fry sweet combo.
Yeah. I found the Wendy's thing one time. I remember when I was a kid in junior high and I was in Athens, Ohio. Went to a Wendy's, only had $2. I'm like, well, what could I get? I could get a French fry. I could get a Frosty. And I got him and I said, what the hell? And I dipped it in there. I was like, oh, I remember the day. I remember the weather. I remember so many things. It was just so vivid in my mind.
So what's weird to me is everybody I talk to just about seems to really miss the Wendy's buffet. The taco
super
bar. The super bar. Mm-hmm. Didn't you say your mom loved it?
Oh, she loved it. But they lost so much money on Big Linda.
You know that for a fact Wendy's was losing money?
I saw the pile of plate.
Yeah.
She would go at least 6 inches tall, and it was overflowing on both sides.
I just feel like people love it. Why not bring it back? I get COVID. Let's say COVID's not around for a second.
Hopefully you don't get COVID.
Why would you not bring that? But the people loved it.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, if people love something, why don't you try to find at least a way to make it work?
But then again, did people really love it? Am I only talking to people who think just like me?
I don't think it was profitable. I just don't know how it could have been. If you have people like my mother come in there, you're done.
Well, the Pizza Hut buffet was great, too, and that went bye-bye.
The thing I wonder is how much food waste did you have every day from the buffet? Because, you know, you're making enough stuff because you don't want to run out, but then how you get in that zone of it being just right, because all it takes is a Big Linda and it throws all your numbers way off.
Thank you.
But you still have places, Sonny's Barbecue. They got a big old little buffet there that people like myself love going to.
I don't think I've been to the buffet at Sonny's.
Jupiter? It's a salad bar, but it's pretty nice. They got the pudding that I love. Oh, I love that pudding.
Pudding on a salad bar. That just sounds disgusting.
I used to love it, though. It is gross.
With those cookies in it?
Yeah, there's vanilla wafers.
Not now. I know too much. Yeah. Pudding looks like it absorbs everything in the air and around it.
Well, you always think you're just going to get the salad bar. You never just get the salad bar because you start smelling that garlic bread and that barbecue.
Oh,
you're
getting so
fart pudding.
I think I'm going to Sonny's. Shit, I got a lot of places to go to today.
You've worked yourself into a frenzy.
Yes.
First place you got to go, though, is get your wallet.
Did they ever email back, Kevin?
It was on Facebook, and I haven't seen anything, no.
I swear to you, my wallet is at my place. I don't know if someone's fucking with me. Only thing I can think of, there's an outside chance. Remember when I lost my wallet and I had to go?
This could be two wallets ago.
This could be two wallets ago, Kevin, and they just found that Publix.
Wait, was the wallet two wallets ago blue?
I think it was blue.
Look at this. The mystery.
So they just found like.
The mystery has been solved.
But I lost it.
I just got the message today.
Months ago.
Somebody could have just found it under like some landscaping or something. You don't know.
Some cookie crisp.
Yeah.
I was in there mulling around.
I meant like outside in the parking lot.
No, I guarantee you. I bet they found it indoors.
You think they found it by the cereal?
I have no idea where they found it. We don't even know if that's what's happened.
That's exactly what happened.
Let's wait till the details.
About it. That's your Publix.
It is my Publix.
It's your ID.
We think.
It's two wallets ago.
One wallet ago. I was looking for it everywhere, too. That's weird, man. That's like my hamster story. The hamsters broke free. Then a year later, we found the hamsters.
It is odd. It is weird when things come back to you that you never expected to see again.
Oh, me and Dennis talked about that wallet. Like, where did someone mug me? I don't remember.
What's the journey that blue wallet has been on?
Yeah. And where did I go wrong?
It could tell a story.
It could tell us the tale.
I'd like to know how it all went down.
You need to go get it because I'm fascinated now.
I'm going to Publix today.
I need to know what's going on with that wallet.
I'm very Food Monday.
Mm-hmm. Deanna wanted to talk a little food porn. She said, I started thinking about why don't more stores or restaurants sell Brookies, which are brownies plus chocolate chip cookie hybrid.
Finally, someone's bringing up this shit.
They call them, actually, now, there's a whole thing online, slutty brownies.
Yeah.
But you can add a little Oreos and caramel.
Wow.
They call them slutty brownies. Brownie, cookie, Oreo, and caramel. Mags made them. I brought them in here for you.
I ate them. I loved them. I felt weird that they were called slutty brownies that Mags gave me. It was weird.
Yeah, it's kind of like a mix. Like you take like a great brownie, like what they have at Bud's, and mix it with like a Mrs. Fields type, like soft, gooey cookie, and put them together.
People love the Bud's brownie. I get a lot of compliments about that Bud's brownie. You had brought it up on the air.
It was and my daughter's 21st birthday. We took it out for the celebration, and they were about fighting over them. They loved them so much. It was crazy.
That's awesome.
There's so much raving reviews. They should have, in fact, Bud should have filmed a commercial on that.
Of the teenagers fist fighting?
Well, they're 21-year-olds. But
about the brownie, though, it shows you.
I know. I love that.
But the way they were talking sounded like it was scripted. I'm like, is there a camera around here? It's like going, this Bud's brownie is the best thing I've ever had in my life. This I just Bud's had brownie, eight of them. Yeah,
it's like the best like ever. I love it. Yeah. I love it. It's great. It's like great.
You should have started filming.
I should have because I was just so stunned. I was like, wow, how about that? I mean, I know they're good, but
Jersey Mike's has some good cookies and brownies as well. They got good stuff.
It works. I love when places have that. That kind of knowing that it's there brings you in.
CR Chicks is another one. Great, great cookies.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I could talk cookies all day.
We know you can.
She went on to talk about, too, Bluebells can help you out. You're talking about you didn't know if you like cookies and cream or cookie dough more. They've got one called Cookie Two Step. Sounds like you got both of them in there.
Ugh. You don't have to pick, Bird. Cookie dough and Oreo bits.
I'm a four-stepper.
They also have peanut butter cookie dough, a milk and cookies one with vanilla ice cream and chocolate chip cookies in it, and a cookie dough overload, which is vanilla ice cream with hints of brown sugar loaded with chocolate chip cookie dough, peanut butter cookie dough, and fudge cookie dough pieces.
Oh, man, I love the term fudge.
Yeah, they do great stuff, too. I mean, everything she just put in her email, like if calories and being fat weren't a thing. Like if they finally came up with that pill and be like, eat whatever you want and you're going to be as healthy and whatever. If it was, you would only see me. In fact, I'd probably eat during the entire show.
Keto Kev would be dead, replaced by cookie dough.
Keto
Kev
would, I would love to bury Keto Kev. He would be gone and dead and I would just eat brownies and cookies.
Cookie dough Kev. It kind of sounds great.
I can't tell you what that would do for our relationship.
Oh, I think I'd wear you out. I think you'd be going, I can't keep up with it.
Bye, Denny's.
Yeah. He would propose.
Denny's is gone.
It'd be nonstop. Gosh. Oh, man. Can only dream, right?
Only dream.
Food and toys. Rose, talking about her toy collection. Nothing wrong with a grown adult having a toy collection. I'm a 44-year-old woman who collects action figures. I got over 30 of them still in the package, collecting for 2 years. She does WWE stuff. Got Hall of Famer Shawn Michaels. She said, you keep being you, but here's some of her stuff. And you can see she actually hangs the dolls in the package up on the wall. That is her art.
I'm about to go into that's going to be one of the next toys I get involved with, is the 1980s rubber wrestling dolls. I don't know if you guys remember them.
My son had a few.
Foot long, kind of. Mm-hmm. They were big and rubbery. You had the Hulk Hogan and the Hillbilly Jim and the Macho Man.
Mm-hmm.
You give a shit, you don't give a shit.
So you've bought every Star Wars. You've bought every G.I. Joe.
I have not bought every Star Wars. Oh, no. It's good luck with that. But you're talking about the vintage ones?
Yeah.
There's a fourth. Are you about to snore on me? You're about to fucking snore.
No, I'm actually interested in where you spend your money.
There's a fourth set that's from 1985 for Star Wars, and I only have one of those figures. They're 17. They're called the Last 17. Way too expensive. You can't justify the price on them.
Really?
It's such a, you have to have fuck you money to be able to buy that kind of, of set. Yeah, it's not worth it.
Something else maybe you might want to get. Cindy sent this in. It is a Chewbacca seatbelt cover. It looks like the belt that Chewbacca wears around his chest. And so when you're buckled into your car, it looks like you're Chewbacca.
I love it.
Yeah.
That's good.
There's even a lightsaber windshield wiper cover for anybody who wants to use the Force.
Ooh.
It's great.
And you can see you put that, and it looks like you got a lightsaber there on the front of your car.
It's outstanding.
There you go. A different kind of toy, but if you want it, of course, somebody has come out with the Karen Quarantine Doll.
Is it a vibrator? Right there.
What?
Is it a vibrator? Okay.
No, it's all right. Barbie.
Okay, never. I'm sorry.
But if you want, you could put that in your ass. Go
okay.
For it.
They gave her.
If you were to put that in your ass, do you go feet first or head?
Probably head. They gave look at her vagina area. They gave her a cooter bump.
Karen's got a camel toe.
She does.
Yeah, that's fitting though. That's good. She needs that. Comes with different accoutrements and accessories. It has got avoid eye contact and wear cool Karen sunglasses. You got a grande 16 flow ounce latte that you can't drink with a mask. Let me see. You can cut your hair and coupons with these firm grip scissors. That's also included in there. And it comes with the tagline, take me to your manager. So, yeah, she does have a big old bulge there. And her shirt says Mama Bear on it. So there you go. The Karen doll.
Yeah, when I said vibrator, Kevin's the one that talked about butt stuff. I was thinking completely vaginal.
So you were going to put it in your vagina?
No.
So we got to talk about your vagina now, huh? No.
All right, let's get into it.
All right, I didn't realize.
No.
Okay.
I'm off my game today.
You got to put a foot up on the counter. I need to see this thing.
Whoa, how flexible I am.
Well, I want to see what you got going on.
I shouldn't say every thought that comes to my mind.
Let me see here. Anything else we got going on? Do have an email from Christina. She was talking about the unpaid internship discussion. I was listening to you guys discuss unpaid internships. I can totally see your point. What we were discussing was how they don't have internships in radio anymore. And big reason is because, you know, now you got to pay somebody. In our discussion, if you missed it, was just about how internships really helped get me into the industry because I was able to learn, make contacts, and I'm not sure if I would be in radio if I hadn't had my internships. And yeah, I knew that they were paid and I knew what the thing was, but the trade-off was getting the knowledge. Kind of like you would talk about a regular college course is how I looked at it.
You learned on the job. It was invaluable. That's what you got, which was more important than money because it set you up for your career.
And was that before you even had to pay for it through college? Because, I mean, from, I believe, 2000 on, if you were an intern, you already paid for that class, so your internship was part of your tuition anyway.
Yeah, it was part of, it was an actual class that I got credit for, and, you know, my counselor would, you know, talk with the business, and I would get rated and reviewed on how I did, and I get a grade for the actual class. So it really was kind of like a class that I had taken. She said, I can totally see your point, but I think you're missing the main negative effect of unpaid internships. Unpaid internships give privileged, wealthier students a bigger advantage than college students that can't afford to work for free. It's creating a bigger divide between the haves and the have-nots. In this sense, it has nothing to do with effort or drive. If a college student needs to work their way through tuition, rent, and bills, there is not a lot of time for extra unpaid hours between classes and a paying job. I know you all talk about your unpaid internships, but consider the insane housing prices and the crazy price of college tuition now versus then, and it isn't really fair comparison. Nowadays, it is almost impossible for students to make it through an education without racking up student loans, no matter how hard they have worked at jobs in high school and beyond. Thought I would give my two cents as a person recently in the job force and managed to get by with about $20,000 in student loans, even with the privilege of having my parents help with finances during college years. Christina. So that is her thought on it.
I was not privileged when I went to college. My family was very, very, very poor. I just hustled my ass off and worked two jobs while I was in college.
So you are combating that email with your own story.
There was nothing privileged about my upbringing at all.
Yeah, well, I would just say that, you know, looking at that is, to your point, you know, you still could, with an internship, work another job. It wasn't like...
You could work multiple ones. I did it. It can happen.
You could work a job at night and you could do that. And as you know, as far as like the money and all that stuff, I really wanted to do it. I mean, I told you guys that I lost my money and I slept in my car for 2 months in my internship.
The other thing too is if you really like that field, and again, I'm speaking for radio, I'm not speaking for Washington. If you showed a love and you wanted to be around, so I can't tell you how many KVJ interns got a job in the industry, still working today, maybe not in this building, but they you know, the path was the right path for them. So they did learn, they got a lot out of it. It wasn't like it was a, just you were just doing bullshit errands. There was something you would get out to use for your career.
It's literally your way in. If you are smart enough to go in there and impress the bosses, whoever you have to work for, you show them you'll do anything. You'll do everything. And you'll do it better than the paid people. That's how you get a job.
Seriously, every intern that wanted to stay in radio, that had a good attitude, they always got a job.
It's true.
It's really true.
Yeah, that's what they look for. And the internship was kind of a dress rehearsal for that, where you could go in and make those.
And you see right there in front of you, okay, this is how this person would act on the job if we really gave them a job.
Yeah.
Are they go-getters? Are they willing to do it all and work it all and work till whenever and do whatever? Or are they just kind of like, ugh, oh my God, complainers and lazy?
Well, you know, obviously the number one thing for most people, they want to get on the air, but you see other people that know how to play the game. They do the other stuff. They want to. They have a good head on their shoulders. They know how to play the fucking game.
Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, you know, the one thing you do say that I can't speak to is the cost of tuition. You know, for me, going 4 years to an in-state school cost $20,000 total, my entire college education. And so, you know, that was something that was easy to pay off.
That was almost a year of one of my private school that I went to.
Yeah.
It the difference between private and public's amazing.
Yeah. And I know for my son, you know, he's had a lot of scholarships, and that's the one thing that I'll tell you, he really did a lot of work, and there are so many like scholarships, and you can keep getting scholarships. It's not like you just get one. You know, he may have 8 different scholarships, but he still is going to have massive amounts of student loans.
Because he worked his buns off getting up to the level to be considered for those scholarships.
Sure, yeah.
It wasn't like he just breezed through it. He worked.
It was a lot of work. And, yeah, I mean, I'll still tell you with the internship, I'm sad that we don't have them. I still think that we should. You know, what I'd said last time, you know, even with what you had to say respectfully there, Christina, is that I understand, you know, what you were saying, but I think that kids could still do it. And I to me too, I just like having the choice of if you can. I know you think that maybe it's still keeping a separation between the haves and the have nots is the argument for it. But I personally don't see the difference that if you're already, you know, taking out student loans for college and you can still have time to work another job. And like I'd said, I mean, if I really wanted, you can sleep in your car. I know it sounds terrible, but I did it.
Jewel.
You can't say it's about privilege to a guy that slept in his car.
Yeah.
So, because that guy wanted it.
Yeah. I think that you can find a way, you know.
You can always find a way if you want it bad enough.
Yeah. So anyway, but that's just my own perspective and where I've been in my life.
Well, don't tell me about privilege, because I'll show you where I grew up, bitch. And it was not privileged.
All right. Well, there we go. We got to go cool Virginia off now.
Uh-oh. Mama's getting heat.
That's right. Look out.
Privileged.
Look out. All right, y'all. Thanks for locking in today. We'll see you back here for your Tuesday. Have a great one. Goodbye.